kind of a different message this morning, and I've entitled it, Rejoicing in the Graciousness of Our Lord Unto Us. Rejoicing in the graciousness of our Lord unto us. There's several passages in the scripture that are along that line and in that vein. We see our brothers and sisters in the scripture. This is one that has touched me, and we'll get to it in a moment. But this verse here in Psalm 116, as the psalmist is writing, he declares in verse number 5, "Gracious is the Lord, Jehovah God, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Our Lord is gracious unto us, and from beginning to end, and His graciousness abounds unto mankind and abounds unto His children. It just pours out and flows. If we understood, and that's what we need to do, is understand the graciousness of the Lord, especially as the children of God. It's not just a one point in one time, but the Lord's working in our lives from before we were saved to when He saved us and after He has saved us. The Lord is gracious. And this word gracious and the word grace speaks about His outpouring of great blessings in the detail of life unto the impossible things that He does for us and on our behalf. We do not deserve anything. But our Lord loves to be gracious. He enjoys it. And He does so along with being merciful. His love is shown in His graciousness and His mercy, His action unto sinners and unto His children. And the psalmist declares here, "Gracious is the Lord." He's not gracious at the compromise of righteousness ever, but He is gracious and righteous all at the same time. I remember in this about how the Lord says to we who are saved, that we might be known as His children, let us be like He is. Let us be hospitable. Let us be merciful. Let us be gracious, because that's the way the Lord is. And His children, if we want to represent Him well, that's the way that we will be. And so we need to learn about our Lord and our Savior, our God, and how He is, that we might be so. There's a passage that has been on my heart here lately, and I invite you to turn over here to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. And we see here in this, and I don't know how else to bring this to you, but to read it unto you, and there's a fair amount of reading that needs to be done, but that we might just see our brother here and his rejoicing in the graciousness of our Lord unto him and unto his people and unto his family and to his son. It really struck me and has stood out to me. And there are other passages, Lord willing, in the future that we'll take a look and see here regarding this subject. Rejoicing in the graciousness of our Lord unto us. Brother David has ruled as king for nearly 40 years at the time of this passage, and he has defeated enemies of Israel. He's been given of the Lord to expand the real estate of Israel greatly, as the Lord had given and had promised. He has been faithful unto the way of the Lord and the word of the Lord. His delight is in the Lord. He has sinned in just the previous chapter. It tells about here about how David sinned against the Lord and wanting to number Israel. He became curious about how strong is Israel, and the Lord's working in it. The Lord's bringing, as Brother Doug mentioned this morning, is bringing His work and His plan, and some of those things, it's hard for us to be able to put it all together and understand it. We just have to rest and rely upon our Lord in it. It says there in that chapter that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David, but we see the result and the end of that is a using of David and using of the nation to bring a place, as God had promised, that he would put his name. And so David numbered the people. The destroyer is sent by the Lord, an angel that I believe destroys and kills 70,000 in Israel. We find that very bitter for us to hear. 70,000. Brother David says, "Oh Lord, these sheep, what have they done? I'm the one that has sinned." And it shows the great responsibility of leadership, that leadership, whether they be good, they bring blessing upon the people that they lead, or whether they be ill or evil, they bring condemnation upon the people that they lead. And so we are admonished as the Lord's people to pray for our leadership, because their leadership or lack thereof can be an effect into the, even the individual, the people of our land, even as we're seeing today. And then this place, the plague is stayed. The angel where he stops is a significant place. David buys this threshing floor. He offers sacrifice unto the Lord, and the plague is stayed. The Lord had given him a choice, and David falls upon the mercy of the Lord, not that of a man. He's given three choices, but he falls upon the mercy of the Lord, and the punishment, the chastisement for his sin is great upon the nation. And this becomes a place that ultimately where the temple of the Lord will be built. David has a desire to build it. He wants to build it. He wants to build a house for God. And he understands the quandary of that, and his son understands that too. What house can contain the Lord? But he looks to honor God, and the Lord gives him a blessing in doing so and desiring that. And so it says in chapter 22 of 1 Chronicles, "Then David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set up masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." And so David has this desire, but the Lord tells him, said, you're not the right man for it. But your son, that you will have born to you, his name will be Solomon. He'll be the one that will build this house. He will be the one that fulfills the desire that you have to accomplish this work in my name and for me. Verse 10, "And he shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee," David speaks to Solomon, "and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. And so Solomon is chosen by the Lord to do this work, but Solomon has a responsibility in his walk before the Lord. God is dealing with, convicting, providing. He's given burden. He's given peace. He's given wealth. He's given strength, wisdom. He's being gracious unto this man and to this people indeed. And he says, his charge unto Solomon, it says, don't be afraid, be strong, be of good courage. You make sure you fulfill what God has said. You know, it's a gracious thing for what God has said to be at hand. Because there are many in the known world in that day that the word of God is not at hand. But they have what God has said. And it is there before them. Verse 14, now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. So not only is there a conviction and a desire, not only is there a pursuit and a purpose, not only is there wealth and cunning and thinking, not only is there leadership, but there's peace. There's not battles that have to be fought. There's not inhabitants of the land that need to be displaced and pushed out. But the Lord is blessed with a time of peace. He's been and is being very, very gracious unto his people and to his king. In these coming chapters, in chapters 23 and 24, 25, 26, and 27, we see here accounts about how David organized and arranges and prepares the order of the service of the temple. He was given of the Lord a great vision about how the temple would be built, how it would be furnished, and how it would be serviced. All the details of it. Every person in their place, every singer, every priest, every division of the house of Levi, and all of those things, the singers and the porters and all those details, the Lord gave that unto David, that he might understand how to order it, how to prepare it, how to set it in a way that would be honoring and glorifying to the Lord. The Lord is being gracious, isn't he? The Lord is stirring up his heart and stirring up his mind and moving with his spirit to reveal these things. Brother Doug pointed out in the book of Hebrews, we learned so much about the purpose, the work, the meaning, the symbolism, the token of the tabernacle and all of its details and all of its pieces and parts, the order of that. That this house, this place that contained the Holy of Holies, it's a figure of the true. It's a figure of that which is in heaven. And the Lord is being gracious and sharing that with a man. when the Lord reveals himself, it is a gracious thing indeed. We don't deserve to know about God. We don't deserve to be able to understand and to be about in his realm and the way that he works. But he is gracious, isn't he? And he's been gracious to our brother and gracious unto us in revealing these things. And after these chapters 22 through 27, where David arranges and organizes and all this order and the military and all of that, we come to chapter 28. And it's nearing the time that the transition of the kingdom needs to be into Solomon. It's coming near to the time of David's departure. And David had written, he said, "Rather than go after the wickedness and iniquity of the world, I'd rather be, a doorman in the house of God." That was the mind. That was the desire of this king. And the Lord gave him this, and no doubt as the Lord gave him how this would all be laid out, he envisioned himself there in that temple, in that place of God, and he delighted in it. And I tell you what, the graciousness of the Lord was upon him and given unto him in a mighty way. Here in chapter 28, we see in verse number 1, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and of the captains and of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, and with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet." Now, I find it interesting that it says that. He may have come to a time in his life that it was difficult for him to do that. But he's going to make a statement here. He's going to make a declaration. He's going to give an admonition. He's going to give instruction. And said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." And you know what? David was content with that. He was content with his part. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He was content in the work and the plan of the Lord. The graciousness of the Lord upon him is a blessing indeed. "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel," verse 4, "chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever." And I want you to hear something that he says here. He chose me. "For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler." And that's that whole tribe. How many valiant men were within Judah? Many. "And the house, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father," which is Jesse. How many families were in Judah? Oh, so many. "But he chose the house of Jesse. And among the sons of my father," how many sons were there? Were there not 7? There were a whole bunch. "And the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." He chose me. He's rejoicing in the graciousness of the Lord, isn't he? He's rejoicing over the Lord's touch and work, that out of all of Judah, out of all the families, out of his own father's family, that the Lord would choose him. He didn't deserve it. On the surface, he wouldn't look like someone that could do it. But he was given a heart by the Lord to desire the things of the Lord. "And he liked me to make me king over Israel." Verse 5, "And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, hath he chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne, pardon me, of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. So Solomon's got a responsibility in this calling. He's been chosen by the Lord, but he's got a responsibility. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. What was it that the Lord told unto King Saul? I've taken the kingdom from you. It's been rent from you. And I've given it to a man that is better than thee. I've given it to a man whose heart is bent towards me. The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. A man after mine own heart, God said. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You know, it's gracious of the Lord for that to be brought to our face, to be brought before us, that we might know the truth about the Lord. Take heed now, verse 10, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. The Lord has been gracious to him, hadn't he? The Lord has shared this with him. He's shown this unto him. He's been caused by God to be in the midst of this glorious, glorious thing to be done upon the earth. Of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, and of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and of the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments, all manner of service. Detail is given to him. The Lord visiting with him and David, and the Lord giving him the detail of every piece and part of the whole thing. He gave him the desire of his heart, didn't he? Verse 14, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments, all manner of service, silver for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups. And for the golden basins, he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. The Lord is being gracious to him, isn't he? The Lord he's not bound or required by any way or any means to fellowship in this way with a man. But he's doing so, isn't he? I tell you what, the blessing and the wonder of it is just a fabulous, fabulous thing. That God is interested in fellowshipping with a man, with a sinful man, a man that he has saved, his son, but to show him these things, figures of the true in heaven, that they might be built here upon the earth, that they might be, we know and understand, a type and a shadow of what Jesus would come and do. Brother David is the one touched by God for such a thing. All this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in the writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Verse 20, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even thy God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and of the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. It goes on to say in chapter 29, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, his stuff, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David's not bragging. He's just telling about the conviction that he has to do this work. And you know what? Conviction is the outpouring of the graciousness of the Lord upon his children. Listen, we need conviction and we need to pray for conviction. But to have conviction is the graciousness of the Lord upon us. As David would go and conquer and he would have his share of what would be collected from these kings and these nations that he would conquer, he had in his mind as he went along that much of that would go to this future work and this building of this house. And then of his share as king, and if you will, maybe of his share personally, he then gave that too. He was convicted of it. He desired it. He gave willingly because it was the thing that was important and that he had. Even 3,000, verse 4, talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So then he asks a question, what about you? I'm convicted greatly, and the Lord is in this, and he's blessing in it. He's given me this pattern. He's given me great conviction that this is the thing that we should do. And as king, he's declaring it unto the nation. And look at the outpouring of the graciousness of the Lord of conviction here upon the people. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of the thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly, and they should. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's the work of the Lord. It's the purpose of the Lord in this day. They've got a king that is leading them, and the graciousness of the Lord has been to put this burden upon him, and he's been working at it for years, no doubt, and he brings this at the time that the work will begin, the time that Solomon will become king, and he's rejoicing in the Lord and the goodness of the Lord in this way. They have peace to be able to do it. He challenges the people, and they're on board too. They're willing. And they give, and they rejoice. Then the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Not out of obligation, not out of one outdoing another, out of jealousy or out of wanting the accolades of men, but they did so for the Lord. It's a joyful time. The graciousness of the Lord abounds upon them. There in the latter part of verse 9, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I tell you what, there's smiling faces going on there. They are happy. They are rejoicing. They are joyful in the Lord's touch upon them. Listen, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, and forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, the worship and praise and glorification of God and His greatness is what's at hand in this joy and this willing heart and this graciousness of the Lord poured out. The moving of the Spirit amongst them, and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee. And of thine own have we given thee. I don't think that David thought that there was a danger that there would be the big head by the people. Maybe he perceived that that could be a possibility. And he declares here in this rejoicing, this giving that they give and everything, he declares and worships the Lord before the people and says, We've given you. What you have given us to give to you. The graciousness of the Lord. To be a channel. To be a vessel. To be included. To not be estranged and afar off from the work of the Lord, but to be near it. God has provided it all. And they have been given that and able to willingly give it for the construction of the temple and its buildings of the Lord and to be a part of it. You hear what's being said there? That's the graciousness of the Lord. The Lord didn't have to use them to build the temple for himself. He didn't have to use a nation to do that. He didn't have to use a king and his son to do that. But he did so, that they might be a part of it. The good graciousness of the Lord unto men. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able, verse 14, to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Meaning we don't stay here forever. You are forever. But we just pass through. And you've done this great thing for us, with us, and in us. O Lord our God, verse 16, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. You test your people and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of our heart, of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep my commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow, after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, and 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord, his king, as king instead of David his father, and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. All those different men, all of those brothers older than him, the graciousness of the Lord. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as has not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. And so here we see this account in these words and this conviction, this blessing of the graciousness of God upon our brother, upon his nation, upon being included in the work to honor and glorify God and to praise him upon the earth. This work to build these things and the sacrifices and the work that would be done in this tavern, this temple and in this place would be typical and showing forth what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. And this is the beginning of it. This is the Lord's touch upon our brother and upon his nation, upon David's son Solomon. The Lord's graciousness has been poured out into them. We can't number all the ways. This is just one account. Did they deserve this? By no means. Did David acknowledge the truth about it? What they had given willingly and they wanted to do so was all from the Lord. And then that the Lord would give David a son that would do this work. And that the Lord gave Solomon cooperation of the kingdom to do this work. The gracious work of the Lord abounded unto them. Well, you know what? In conclusion, so it is with us and more. Brother Jim, I don't see the gold stacked around. Brother Jim, I don't see the silver in abundance without numbers stacked around. I tell you what, we have something even greater. Consider this. We who are saved individually are His tabernacles. See, the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, for one verse, know ye not that you are the temple of God? The Lord doesn't dwell in a building anymore, but He dwells in His people. He always has. But it's made clear and evident in these New Testament times that that is the aim and the goal and the knowledge and the blessing, that we understand that individually we are His tabernacles. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Not between the cherubims, not in the Holy of Holies, but in the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls that the Lord has graciously saved. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The Shekinah glory that came upon the tabernacle or the temple in the day of Solomon's dedication, it wasn't seen as that was seen that day, to where it was so powerful that the priests couldn't enter in to do their service. But I tell you what, the time and the moment that you and I were saved, the Spirit of the Lord entered within us and had been working in us, but came to abide. And we are that everlasting temple of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't leave, does He? No, He does not. And then also, not only individually, but we as members of Olmsted Baptist Church are His house. I trust you know that. Look in John chapter 4. Look in John chapter 4. The woman here, the Lord with the woman here at the well at Sychar, this He says unto her. The woman saith unto Him, John 4:19, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jerusalem is where the temple was built. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. There's a time coming that geography isn't going to matter anymore. Ye worship ye know not what. Again, with all of that happened in Samaria by the king of Assyria. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit, you got to have the Spirit of God within you to be able to worship the Lord correctly and well. And by the Spirit of God and by the Lord's Word, we can know the truth and in that truth worship Him, not something of our own thinking or device. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus, having said this, we understand that the Lord has made His churches His tabernacle, His temples. And Brother Peter and Brother Paul and the writer of Hebrews makes this clear. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we see this. And we've been singing this chorus, and that's a touch in one verse there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read here verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all the malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Are you saved? Are you saved? Has the Lord called you to His church to be a member of one and to worship Him and serve Him in it? To whom coming as unto a living stone, speaking of Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Christ is. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is the eternal temple. Because being in one of the Lord's churches is a thing and the design of the Lord that is not to be undone. Now, I understand people can get wayward and I understand people can be put out of the church because of wickedness and such as that. But the design is save sinners, graciously convicted about the truth of the Lord's churches, come in thereinto by baptism and conviction and calling of the Lord, and are there. And this institution of the Lord's church will go into eternity. And we're a part of that. It's more precious than gold that lined the walls and silver that the basins and the furniture was made out of. Our Lord has been so gracious to us that He lives within us. Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. See the connection there to the temple? All those pieces in order and part acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What was a chosen generation? Well, Israel was a chosen generation. David in his day and Solomon in his day were a generation chosen within Israel to build. The priesthood that David ordered and that the Lord determined to be through Levi and Aaron. A holy nation, there's Israel, a peculiar people, the parallels that we have been called into. And the design is for it to be eternal. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation among the Gentiles, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Not only are we the individually the Lord's tabernacles and that He lives within us, but we are also His house, His spiritual house in His church. In Hebrews chapter 3, we see here another mention of this in verses 4 through 6, Hebrews 3, 4 through 6. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, we see this, verses 18 through 20, Ephesians 2, 18 through 20. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. So that aspect of us being in the family of God, and he living within us, and we individually being his temple, and then this of the church, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah, there wasn't a big collecting of cedar and gold and silver and precious stones and all of that. It's something greater. It's something greater than an earthly edifice unto the Lord, which had its place in the design of God. But here the graciousness of God has been bestowed upon us, that he has saved us, and he has called us and made us members of one of his kind of churches, one of his houses. What a glorious, glorious thing the graciousness of God, our Lord, has been unto us. May we rejoice in it. May we glorify our Lord as David did over an earthly house. And may we be a good witness of it unto others. Israel, for a time, was a good witness of it, weren't they? They came from all over the world to see Solomon and the house that he had built and the house of the Lord and the service of the Lord. And from that time, we see more copycats of the way the service of the Lord was ordered in his house. May we rejoice in what the Lord, his graciousness, bestowed upon us.